Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and joining me now to take your calls on how the election might change your life personally is Linda Berthold. She's health policy consultant and a Huffington Post blogger, and she wrote a piece last week called Ask Not What Obama Can Do For You, Ask What You Can Do For Obama. Linda Berthold, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Brian.
And the question out there, has the election inspired you to be more civic-minded or to volunteer locally or get more active in politics? Is there a new progressive patriotism, like we talked about last week, that's actually going to inspire doing things for your country in a different kind of way? So Linda, let's obviously the piece, the title of your piece is a reference to JFK's famous line, upon inauguration, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Why do you tie those two together?
Well, my husband and I were Peace Corps volunteers under John Kennedy, and that was our first volunteer experience, and it changed our lives. We went to Ethiopia, and when we came back, we were really never the same in so many ways. And so, you know, for the last, 40 years or so, we have been doing volunteering in our community. So when I saw how much enthusiasm had been raised by Obama's campaign and how this ground bottom up campaign that he had done had energized and empowered people, I became really interested to find out what people were going to do after it was all over. So I've written a couple of blogs about it, and I've gotten some really interesting responses.
Like what?
Well, you know, one person said that she had no idea that prisoners and felons, I guess, could vote in some states but not in others. So she's going to work on voting rights for prisoners. And somebody else said that, who had gone to one of the states that had early voting, was so amazed by the impact of early voting, which is only available, by the way, in 35 states right now, that she wants to work for early voting in all 50 states. And somebody else is going to work on the labeling of genetically modified food. So it sort of runs the gamut of doing the usual local volunteering to really working on some much larger issues.
There you go. Those two politics questions are really interesting. One, the ex-cons question. Different states are different on that. In New York, if you have served your time, you do go back on the voter rolls. And there is somewhat of a movement in New York State to take it a step further and make it so that if you're, I think it's if you're on parole, you can vote. Because I think you have to finish your parole period, if that applies to you, before you can vote. But in New York, you know, once you have served your time, even if convicted of a felony, you can then resume voting. In other states, you can't. And as for the early voting, boy, that was so much more than anybody expected this year. Even though a lot of the states that have it have had it for a number of years. So I think political scientists are really going to take a look at that now and see what there were certainly pros. Were there any cons of the availability of early voting and see how to tweak it for next time? I know in the state of Virginia, for example, the voting actually started before the first debate. And some people thought that was too early. So I think we're off to the races on a new conversation now and policy about early voting. Gene in Brooklyn. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's been increasing ever since 2000. 22%, I guess, in 2004 voted early. And this year, I think the number is about 26%, or around 32 million people.
Here's a clip of Obama talking about active citizenship and a sense of mutual responsibility. This is from the National Service Forum, that sort of back-to-back interview, quasi-debate held on September 11th. At Columbia University.
Part of what makes America work is the fact that we believe in individual responsibility and self-reliance, but we also believe in mutual responsibility, in neighborliness, in a sense that we are committed to something larger than ourselves. Every bit of progress that we've made historically is because of that kind of active citizenship. And as president, what I want to do is restore that sense of common mutual responsibility, and I think the American people are ready for it.
Jean in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jean.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Excuse me, I have my post-election cold.
it's okay, now you're allowed.
Thank you. I was working with Brooklyn for Barack. We're an all-volunteer organization, and I was leading volunteers from Brooklyn to Philadelphia for the past 15 weeks. And it was a movement that just grew and grew. And when we first started going in midsummer, you could fit all the volunteers who responded to my notice in the hatchback led by our field organizer. By the end, I was chartering buses that went from Brooklyn to Philadelphia and back. And a day or two after the election, I sent out an email to all the people who'd signed up. And by that point, I had 1,400 names on my mailing list, just to give you a sense of people who'd either come on trips or who had emailed me about trips to say, what do we do next? And the next morning, I had 100 emails in my inbox of all the things that people wanted to do.
Wow.
And some of it was just at the level of, yes, please let me know. I want to stay involved. I think the Obama campaign made it extraordinarily easy to get involved. Through the website, people could post an event, and you could
sign up. And once you did one thing and were on their list, they were emailing people about, you know, 63 times a week with things they could do.
Right. And I think the other part of it is that once you got to Philadelphia, which is where we were working, the work was very concrete, and I think people responded to that. It wasn't amorphous. When you got there, there were very specific tasks in terms of, I mean, first we were doing voter registration, and then we were doing canvassing, but with a very targeted walk list and so forth. And in a sense, it was like Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. You knew that when you got there, someone would hand you a hammer, and by the end of the day, you could say, I built that wall.
So now what? Because there is not this single focused, you know, get the guy elected, unifying task.
Right. I mean, I would say that people have broken down into a bunch of different categories. One is we're going to be the watchdogs to keep Obama honest and to make sure that he does the things he said he was going to do. Another group is that we're going to be the support team for Obama, using the same kind of tools as far as online and phone banking and so forth to support his legislative agenda. Some people are translating it, for example, into the Georgia runoff and want to organize trips to go to Georgia to help with that race or phone bank for that race.
That's a U.S. Senate seat runoff,
right.
Yeah.
Some people are looking. I mean, one of the things I would say is very interesting is you had a lot of people going from neighborhoods in Brooklyn to neighborhoods in North Philadelphia, seeing a kind of poverty that, of course, exists in Brooklyn, but that they're not aware of on a daily basis. And so part of it is going to be translating into what do we do at our neighborhood level. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you talk about defining community at the local level, people are talking about city council. People are talking about who are we going to support for in the mayor's race. But also one woman wrote to me and said, you know, all the places we used as storefronts, as staging locations in Philadelphia, I'd like to see those become community centers. One person said, I'd like to see a Teach for America program, but at the Head Start level. For teachers, you know, working
preschool.
At preschool. I mean, people are coming up with fantastic ideas. And so my hope is that in the next few weeks, we as an organization will have some kind of both celebration and meeting, something like a job fair, except a service fair, where people can come and see all the grassroots stuff that's going on here in Brooklyn.
That is so great. And, Jean, if you do something like that, please let us know.
Okay.
And we'll give you a shout-out. So post it on our find a place to post it. Call our office. Find us.
Okay.
Email BrianLehrishow at WNYC.org. But make sure we acknowledge you if you try to get in touch, okay?
Thanks,
Jean, thank you very much. And Clarence in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Clarence.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I really enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I was calling because I think people will be inspired, as I was telling the person to answer the phone. I'm a 60-year-old African-American, and I've always been active in my community, although I'm not originally from Newark. I'm from Detroit. And I've always been an adult literacy tutor, but I think it's great that people now will be inspired to realize that community sacrifice and participation and being active is better for you know, everyone, you know, whether you do things just on your block to police it better, to clean it up a little bit better, to inspire people to get out, to talk more to your neighbors, and also to reach out and understand that what Barack was saying is not going to be easy. We have to connect. We have to sacrifice. Matter of fact, when I went to the gym the next day, I was telling the young man in the gym that, hey, Barack wants you to get two jobs now, one for yourself and your family, one for America. So they all laughed at me, but we have to give more. We have to be more active. And I also hope that people realize that our voting in the political process does count. I mean, our government is directly related to to the pressure we put on our politicians by voting and being active. So it's really a great thing. I do believe it's a great thing.
That's a great call, Clarence. Thank you very much. Call us again. And Linda Berchtold, blogger with Huffington Post, who wrote a piece called Ask Not What Obama Can Do For You, Ask What You Can Do For Obama. You encourage people to keep their elected officials honest. And one of the things that Obama did that was so successful for his campaign was to establish this network of supporters and volunteers through online social networking strategies. Have you seen this new site yet, change.gov, which allows people to be involved as he governs, but also allows him to be held accountable, like the first caller was describing?
Yes, I have, and I think it's a very exciting way to do it. And the reason I wrote the blog was to not to have people wait for Obama to tell them what to do, but to think about things that they could do, and it sounds like that's totally happening. But the site, change.gov, does have a number of ways for people to get involved. And, you know, he has 30 million people on his email list. It's a pretty big email list.
Yeah.
And I expect that we all will continue to get messages. But I think the real message is don't wait for him to tell us what to do. Find out ways to do things for yourself.
And even the campaign was decentralized in that way. People would spring up. I mean, organizations would spring up all over the country, maybe with, you know, the hint of a seed planted through some online connections. But then there was a lot of bottom-up work, and maybe the campaign would take control of it after a while, or give it direction, or make sure it wasn't doing certain things that would look bad or whatever. But there was a lot of bottom-up. And so there seems to be a continuation of this with change.gov at the content level now that the campaign is over, which is great. Danai in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hi. I want to say two things. The first thing is I would be happy to get an email, to continue to get an email every day from David Plouffe, as I did for the last 3 months, sort of with marching orders.
That's so the campaign manager, for people who don't know. Yeah,
David Plouffe. I think there are a lot of people who are going through withdrawal over those emails. And the other thing is that a group of mothers in Brooklyn, a group of my friends, have decided to start Yes We Can Mondays, or maybe Yes We Can Thursdays, which would be sometimes after school. We would do something as a group of mothers and caregivers and children on some community service project so that we can continue kind of the good feeling that our children had towards this election. So, mm-hmm. You know, it may be something right now with Thanksgiving, but eventually it'll be something in the community that our kids can participate in. And some of our kids, you know, they'll have hopefully eight years of this president and hopefully 8 years of seeing that they can make a contribution.
That's great. Let us know what you do.
Thanks a lot.
Danai, thanks. Here's a post on this from our webpage. I haven't mentioned the webpage. We do have a webpage for this conversation, too, so you may want to post your own stories of organizing around your community. You can even, you know, let people know what you're doing in case you want to link up with people through this. Of course, always be careful when you're contacting people who you meet through the Internet. But who knows, maybe our site can be, you know, kind of a hub for some of you who want to get involved with different kinds of volunteering to connect up with each other. Here's a post, Faye from Permanently Prospect Heights, as she puts it. And this says, I'm an artist, and for the past year or so, I've been annoyed with how insular the art world is. I feel that art has been taking a passive, reactive role rather than being an active agent to help shape society. Obama's victory has really inspired me to try to do something to create a community of artists for whom the real world matters. I do not make political art, and neither do I feel that artists must make work that is directly political, by the way. So, interesting thought about art in this context. Greg in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I am joining the Peace Corps. I'll be leaving in July.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I can't say that I joined necessarily directly because of Obama, President-elect Obama, but I've noticed a lot of the reaction from my friends who are mostly in their mid to late 20s has gone from like a real cynical, like, oh, what are you doing that? You know, you're half a hippie, to like a real pride in people saying, you know, thank you and congratulations.
Isn't that amazing how the election itself changes the whole environment for that?
Yeah. And I also want to say to your guest that I love the Huffington Post. I read it every day. I'm a little addicted to it. But.
She's glad to hear. That's what they call a positive addiction, Linda, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Greg, thank you. And Brownita in Hackensack, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brownita.
Listen.
Go ahead, Brownita, you're on. Don't listen to the radio, listen to the phone.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Brownita Sharif calling. Obama has definitely inspired me. I started out much like a community person like himself. I started going to community policing classes, trying to understand and bridge the gap between the young people and law enforcement. And I've been very successful in becoming an advocate for the state and a liaison. I'm very proud of my work. It's a volunteer job that I have, but I'm very happy with what I do, and it's very satisfying. And I hope to move forward and perhaps in Obama resume where I can get in somewhere to help take care of the states and the country's children.
There you go. But instead of asking Obama what he can do for you, the fact that you've been doing this already, I wonder if you think the election and this new atmosphere that we've been hearing from our callers and others is going to help the organization that you're already working with. Do you think it's going to attract new people or new energy or something to it?
Yes, I definitely think it's going to attract new people, new energy, because I am starting to inspire people also to move forward in the same light that I have been working under for many years. I've been very successful. I'm very happy. And when they see the glee of light coming from me, someone who never used to be involved, and now I'm involved so much too, I'm overflowing. But I'm overwhelmed, but it's a happy overwhelmingness, and I'm very, very proud of what I do.
That's great, and I hope they do tap you in some way to spread the glee and spread the service. Thanks for calling, Brownita.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll close this off with another post from our comments page, which says, I think the best thing the administration could do would be to create an all-star team of service organizations that gives the broadest range of people information on the broadest range of opportunities. Everyone from high school kids to boomers to retirees pitching in, from Indian reservations to rural America to big cities, from schools to the environment to housing to health care. Last word, Linda Berchtold from Huffington Post.
Yes, actually, I'd like to give a plug for a website called servicenation.org, which has it pulls all kinds of 118 different organizations that support Service Nation. And you can go to their website and look under one of the categories, and you can click on any one of these 118 organizations that go all the way from Boys and Girls Clubs to, Teach for America, and look for your interest and find out something that you can do. So if you don't have a specific idea, go to servicenation.org.
As well as Obama's change.gov.
Change.gov,
and
right.
It's amazing. It really isn't. It's a new kind of patriotism that doesn't thump its chest.
Yes.
Linda, thank you very much.
We did.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. Something completely different, because you want to be around for a long time to do all this volunteer work. A new study that could be revolutionary in preventing heart disease, heart attacks, strokes. One of those moments when they actually stopped a major health study in progress because the results had such massive implications for the population at large. We'll tell you about it in a minute.